trying to think. Episode 24. I'm your host, Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit us on the web at imtryingtothink.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And you can friend us on Facebook or fan us or whatever. You know, search Facebook. I'm Trying to Think. You'll find it.
If you want to fan us with palm fronds, then email us at contact@imtryingtothink, and we could probably set that up.
Yeah, that might have to wait a couple months. It's a little snowy here. We're surrounded.
Yeah, it's kind of snowy. It's off season for that sort of thing.
Right,
but
for the palm fronds.
Maybe soon. Maybe soon. We could probably work something out.
Any day now. I got the number right, episode 24, right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
23. Yeah. 24.
You had some confusion last week. You've got it straightened out.
Then there'll be 25.
Yes.
At some point. Well, now will be the time to announce the big news.
Ooh, which big news? So much big news.
I'm Trying to Think is moving to a bi-weekly format.
Oh, yeah.
And that means every 2 weeks.
Yes.
Not twice a week.
No, twice a week would be a little inconvenient, just period.
Yeah, and nobody wants to hear that.
Lord knows I don't.
Yeah, it's just, give us a little more time to work on the content, a little more time to
work on the editing.
High-quality shows.
Yeah. We think it's the right move. We'll see how it goes.
And as always, if you hate that, you can write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Absolutely.
And say, I hate that. And maybe we'll do something about it, but maybe not. That's it. All right.
That's that.
Yeah. So, Dave.
Yes.
I'm sorry that, earlier this week I wished you a Cappy Chinooka.
That you did.
And, it looks like, Chinooka is over.
It is. The holidays ended. I used most of the candles in the box. Probably have to throw it away, because what am I going to do with, like, 5 Hanukkah candles? Nothing.
I have no idea.
Yeah, the answer, I gave you the answer in my statement, which is nothing. At some point I need to scrub out the menorah, clear out the waxy buildup, you know.
Did the candles last longer than you thought they would?
No, not really. It was pretty much predictable, as I would expect from, like, a small, cheap wax candle.
All right. So when it comes to Christmas, people are completely gaga, way overboard, right?
Yeah. People go gaudy, batshit for Christmas.
Crazy lights. Just pot, like, coat their lawn in lights. Inflatable Santa. Reindeer on the rooftop. All lit up. Tree on the top, on the roof, lit up. Trees inside lit up.
Yeah,
other stuff inside lit up.
They're going batshit with the lights.
Yeah. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that the Jewish people were a subdued, humble people.
Well, I will say, you are supposed to, I think, put your menorah in or near a window, if possible, to just kind of show off the lights to people.
All right.
If that's not possible, then you want to put it on a table so you're at least showing it off to people in your household.
That's a good idea.
That is sort of, because, it's about celebrating that light and, inviting it outwards to other people.
The thing is if we look further at the Orthodox Jews.
Right.
Demure is the word I would use.
You're very dressed,
dressed in black.
Dressed all in black. That whole thing.
Yeah, everything's tucked and buttoned and very nicely put together. Hats.
Yeah, hats.
A hat-wearing people.
Jokes about holes in sheets, all that sort of thing.
Possibly, yes. It's just, black, very demure color. So why, Dave, why are there multiple menorah mobiles?
Ah, the menorah mobile question.
I'll clarify for people who do not live in my neighborhood.
Yeah, which for those
primarily Jewish.
Who don't know, it's actually one of America's oldest Jewish neighborhoods.
Indeed,
we got temples everywhere. There's at least one, possibly multiple yeshiva schools.
Yeah, a couple. So there are also folks around the area with vans with giant menorahs, sometimes made out of PVC pipe. I'm talking giant. Because this is on top of a van.
Oh, yeah. They're very sizable.
Some of them don't. Still, what possesses...
What makes a man...
What makes an Orthodox Jewish man strap a PVC
menorah
to the top of his van and drive it around?
And drive around. Basically, I would say there are a couple things.
I mean, let me say for the first, as I am aware, Hanukkah is not a real big holiday.
No, it's not one of the high holy holidays. It's kind of second tier. It's about the same as Purim. It's on that level. It's actually, in terms of sheer tradition, it's actually not even a gift-giving holiday. True fact. Except for, you know, the small bags of chocolate money.
Mm-hmm.
That just got tacked on because, you know, the whole sort of, it's, you know, similar time as Christmas. So it's like, eh, what the hell, you know, kids want presents. We'll make that happen.
Okay.
Sure. But yeah, it's not one of the big high holy days.
Menorah mobile.
Okay, menorah mobile. I would say there's a couple impulses. One is, you know, Orthodox Jews, you know, certainly, you know, more demure, less ostentatious presentation that they generally have. But they are still Americans, you know, with American impulses towards, you know, grandiosity and ridiculousness.
And excess.
And yeah, excess, exactly. And some of that is, you know, certainly reflected in the menorah mobile, which is kind of a good phrase to twist your tongue around.
Yes.
Menorah mobile. But anyhow.
Anyhow. So you're saying that it's their core Americanosity that's driving this behavior.
Well, there's that. And also, I'm less 100% positive about this. But from what I've heard, I think most of the people behind the menorah mobiles are specifically Chabad.
Chabad?
Chabad.
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 That sounds suspiciously close to kebab, but it might be because I'm a little hungry.
Probably. I think that's the reason. But basically, Chabad is a certain sect of Chassidim, which have kind of two things that I know about them. Again, I'm relatively the expert here, but I'm not a super expert. But, you know, some of the main things I know about them, certainly that would explain the menorah mobile,
mm-hmm.
is one, they're substantially more evangelical than pretty much all Jews.
Okay.
Like, I think...
You mean they're evangelical, period?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I think, like, have you ever been to the supermarket and seen, like, those sort of, like, middle-aged ladies outside with, like, the good cards or whatever? Like, telling you to do a mitzvotim? Like, telling you to, you know, do a mitzvah?
No, I guess not.
Okay.
Maybe I'm in the wrong grocery stores.
No. Well, the Giant Eagle in Squirrel Hill, specifically?
No.
Well, have you ever...
violin lady.
I don't know. Well, do you approach it from the front, or do you usually sneak in by the parking lot?
I approach it from the front.
Huh. Well, then I guess you may have just missed them. But I believe that's another sort of evangelical thing they do. And I believe the menorah mobiles are part of that sort of, like, just throwing Judaism out there to the people kind of thing that they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then actually one kind of thing...
So it's like a evangelical menorah.
Yes.
So why isn't there, with all the Christian evangelicals, crossmobiles I don't see?
I feel like, you know, I feel like there have to be them.
You
I don't
feel
know.
Like there have to be.
I think we may just not be in a good crossmobile region, but I feel like they gotta be
so
out
you think
there.
Regionally, we're outside of the crossmobile area.
Also, I think some of it is... I think also the crossmobile is less practical because you think about the menorah, it's got like good, it's more wide than tall.
Mm-hmm.
With a cross, you know, unless you're putting it sideways, which is probably, I don't know, vaguely heretical or something. I mean, I know the upside down cross is all like, you know.
That's bad.
People with, you know, who listen to too much metal, you know, and
I guess.
The whole Satan something or other. So the sideways cross is probably like half satanic, so you can't do that. And then just a normal cross is just too goddamn tall to put on your car, you know. You're going to be excluded from all tunnels. It's going to be a balance issue, and you're going to suddenly, like, you know, it's going to tilt, and suddenly, you know, your passenger is killed by, like, a falling, you know, cross just puncturing the roof and just caving in their head like it was a, I don't know, something that caves in. Ripe melon. Ripe melon. Or a cave. Yeah.
I was going to go with cave.
A cave full of ripe melon.
All right.
A cave full of ripe melons. So, yeah, the Crossmobile just wouldn't work. And two, I think they cover their automotive evangelicalism with sort of a combination of Jesus fish saturation and billboards. And, you know, Jesus billboards. Although, actually, speaking of roadside evangelicalism,
okay.
One thing I noticed as I was coming back from brunch today, because, yeah, I totally, I've acquired yuppie points. I went on a brunch, you know, the place had, like, a prefix menu. They called macaroni and cheese macaroni gratin.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, yeah, that kind of lunch, you know, so yuppie points. But anyhow, we got, there was a great little bit of a sign on a roadside church that I feel like wasn't meant to be this peevish, but the phrasing of it struck me as seeming peevish because it was phrased like this. Proverbs 6:3. Look it up.
That's pretty harsh.
It's just Proverbs 6:3. Look it up.
Look
like,
it up.
It really, to me, looked like it wanted a comma and the word asshole. It was like Proverbs 6:3. Look it up, asshole.
No, that's perfect. And
just, so I think that's how Christians have that covered.
So you, being of the Jewish persuasion, don't really know what Proverbs 6:3 is, though, do you?
No.
All right, I will read Proverbs 6:3 to you.
Okay, make it happen.
To entertain you.
I was curious.
Then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. I'm sorry, hold on, I lost it for a second there.
Yeah, let's just stop there. That's a lesson.
Go and plead urgently with your neighbor. Okay, I'm going to read it straight face.
Doth apologize to him for coming unto his hand.
Then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. So, not really, you know, look it up, not really helping you out, is it?
No.
Didn't find the Lord in that one, did you?
Maybe they should have said look it up and think about it.
Yeah, look it up and then believe in God, I think is really mm-hmm. the order they wanted to go in, maybe.
Yeah.
Or believe in God, then look it up, because that would actually probably be more helpful. They don't really care as long as the end result is, you know, you believe in this guy, Daddy.
Yep.
But that's good enough for me. Whatever. Look it up. So, I mean, now that you've come into the hand of your neighbor,
I accept that
is interesting, you know. I mean, there aren't a lot of evangelical Jews, so it's possible that...
Yeah, another interesting thing about Chabad, I'll get this out of the way quickly before we...
Yeah,
you know, and then we can probably take a break, yeah?
And eat a kebab.
For kebabs. Kebabs.
All right.
As the Hebrews don't call them, but Chabad also, because Judaism in the broadest sense is a messianic religion, which is really skeptical about the idea of a Messiah coming. Which is something I've always found kind of interesting about
it. You wait like 5,000 years and just start to get a little...
Yeah, no. But,
except the Jews for Jesus.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, darn
it. It was like, we found him. Turns out it was this Jesus guy.
Does anybody have a DVR and we can rewind?
But Chabad, actually very messianic. I think for the past 40 years, they've definitely been on a kind of... any minute now sort of time scale. So, like, they've put their chips down on the Messiah thing. They're just like, it's happening. It's happening. And they've been like that for about, like, 40, 50 years now.
Yeah, and they have, like, bumper stickers. Are those bumper stickers that say Mosaic Now?
I think they are.
Which is, like, now? Or, like, when you put the sticker on the car? Or, like, in the future, but, like, soon?
No, I think it's constantly now.
Because it's a real messed up metaphysically proposition. It's like, I want my pudding now. Well, you can't have it now because now is over.
Yeah.
So you can have it in the future.
Yeah,
but
you can't have it now because now is already happening and you don't have it now.
Yeah, and it's over. And you don't have it.
If you had your pudding now, you wouldn't be asking for it.
Yeah, and you had it then and didn't have it then and then was now and now it's not. Yeah. Then, but now, you're still not eating pudding because I'm talking to you about not eating pudding.
Yeah, and then, as a wise man once said, when will then be now?
As a wise man once said, how soon is now?
And I think with those two thoughts...
I am human, and I need to be loved. Just like everybody else does.
And with those two thoughts... I think. Okay, hold on.
Before we go to break.
Yeah.
It's an important question about the future of our world.
Okay, give me.
So, I mean, you'll want to make it quick so you get the break. James Cameron.
Yeah.
Avatar movie.
That's happening.
Big deal.
Yep.
On the 60 Minutes. Blah, blah, I'm James Cameron. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to one of my, you know, public radio programs because I do that. And same thing, James Cameron on blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. James Cameron says, we're all going to be watching 3D TVs. Do you believe that shit?
It's not impossible, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I don't believe that shit. I'm going to make it really easy on why I don't believe that shit. You have to put on some glasses to make some 3D shit happen, right?
Probably, yeah.
So your TV's in 3D, right?
Yeah.
Kids are crying. I don't know. You're writing out your bills. You're, you know, looking at bills, writing checks, whatever. While you watch your TV, which is what we do.
Yeah.
We don't actually watch the TV.
No, no. It's just on in the background. It's our gentle companion.
Yeah, exactly.
As we live the rest of our lives.
Nobody's flipping up their 3D glasses to write the check and then flipping them down to watch the TV and then flipping them up to write the check and then flipping them down to watch the TV. It's bullshit. Accessories. That's not going to work.
Well.
And there you go.
James Cameron disagrees.
James Cameron
made
Titanic. That's all I'm saying.
If you have a, if you are behind his, you know, gold-plated car, you'll see a bumper sticker. It says 3D now.
3D now. I don't know about that. I just want to say something, if I could, quickly about James Cameron.
Sure.
James Cameron spent $200 million to make a movie where we see Kate Winslet's boobs.
Yes.
Surely he could have done it for less. That's all.
Probably.
That's all I'm saying. I think $200 million's... It's steep.
A little much.
I think she would have done it for less. I think she would have done it for less.
I don't know. She's a classy lady.
She was a classy lady. Then she was naked in that movie. Forget about it. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more. I'm trying to think. Snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 24.
Wait, which was that from?
That was Proverbs 2 and 3.
Ah.
I was just throwing it out there.
I should have looked it up.
If you go a little further, Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You know, run around, get squished, eaten by various animals.
Yeah.
Carry dirt. That's wise. That's wisdom. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? When I'm ready.
Man, you know what?
The Bible's getting a little preachy.
No. Well, I'm just going to say more than preachy. It's getting peevish. Like, That attitude of that sign seems like it was very appropriate for this book. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bible's saying, hey, sluggard, look it up.
Look it up.
It's very there.
Actually, Proverbs 6, 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Followed by verse 7, without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. I don't think they knew ants very well.
There's a queen.
For the word of the Lord, they didn't really get the whole ant biology thing.
Hey, the Lord made ants. He doesn't have to know what they do.
He doesn't have to pay attention to them.
No.
I mean, come on. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to tell you about coming in your neighbor's hands. But that's what they said. I don't know. All right.
The Bible, folks.
The Bible. Okay, who cares?
Yeah.
All right, wait. I lost my... Okay, here we go. I lost my place there, Dave, but I got it back.
Good.
Because it's time for the headline of the week.
Headlines!
Are you ready?
Headlines!
Ho makes first appearance in Macau. after a long hospital stay.
I don't know what any of that means.
Doesn't matter. Funny headline.
Yep.
Headlines!
And that's the headline segment. That's the headline segment,
folks. Everybody have a good time with that? I'm glad. What else we got? All right, Dave.
Yeah?
Make sense of this for me.
Sure.
Some people say climate change is real.
Right.
Some people say climate change isn't real. What's going on?
What's going on? How do we make
sense of that?
I'm going to give you some tautology here. I can drop some tautological knowledge on you.
Do it.
If some people say climate change is real, and some people say climate change isn't real, here's how it is. Some people are wrong.
And some people are right.
Yep.
All right, moving on. All right, Dave.
Man, we should solve all of the pressing problems of the day tautologically.
Okay, well,
here... That's nice.
Here we go.
That's nice.
Browns second quarter update. Kansas City 24, Browns 20. All right, I can solve this one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Either the Browns will win or they won't.
You know, I can actually solve that one slightly better.
Go ahead.
Last time I checked, the Browns were up actually 34 to 24, I think. They came back.
Go Browns.
You know, I don't really mind hearing that, but I feel like you, that seems dirty for you.
Here's the thing about being a Steelers fan in this day and age. I hate the Ravens. I hate the Bengals.
And you kind of feel bad for the Browns.
I feel bad for the Browns. At this point, they beat the Steelers, and I was like, good on ya. You know what I mean?
You deserve one. They deserved one.
All right. Here's a kicker.
Yeah.
Chris Henry. Now we're getting serious.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He died.
He did.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
He had a lot of criminal problems earlier in his career. He was a Bengals player.
Up to, about last year, even, yeah, I think. He was having some troubles with his wife.
Legal troubles. You know, troubles with wives and girlfriends and babies' mamas, I believe.
No, basically, and, drugs, he was having all guns. Kinds of legal... Yeah, he drugs, guns, ladies, like...
He did it all.
You name a thing you were doing wrong, Chris Henry was doing that thing.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
And it brings me back to something my grandfather always used to say. Is that, you know, at a funeral, there are no assholes. Like, it doesn't matter how horrible you were in your life. At your funeral, everybody's going to say nice things about you.
Yeah.
Everybody interviewed about this Chris Henry thing is talking about how much of, like, he was coming around and he had changed. He had living a different life and trying to make a better life, right?
Yeah.
But here's how he died. His wife was driving away in his pickup truck, presumably, I don't know, angrily, who knows, fearfully. Emotionally, take a car and drive it away. And he was chasing her, and he jumped into the bed of the truck and then fell out onto the street.
Right.
Receiving injuries that led
to his death. Yes, correct.
I'm not so sure he was completely, you know, that his life had turned around.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that. There's, from what I understand, and, you know, I haven't looked at her record, so I'm not sure. But I think his wife had the kind of checkered past that makes marrying a guy like Chris Henry seem more reasonable. Well, his fiance, I think it was.
Yeah.
He was affianced.
Yeah, I don't know if they were married yet, but regardless. Yeah, they were engaged.
Like, I believe she had sort of similar criminal past with drinking issues. Like, I don't remember, but...
Regardless, you fall out of the back of your own pickup truck, driven
a bit
wildly by your wife.
Checkered, yeah. It's a checkered situation.
Why wouldn't she stop when he got in the back of the truck? You know, there's a lot of questions. I'm just saying.
I don't know what happened. I don't think, it doesn't indicate someone who's living a reasonable lifestyle.
Yeah, hasn't completely turned their life around yet, no. But still, you know.
It's unfortunate when, you know, someone gets cut down, you know, the prime of their life, et cetera, et cetera.
La, la, la. Yes. Poetic. Sadness. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to fun with Google News.
Okay. If you want to keep running things down,
I enjoy this.
Feel free.
I just enjoy this. Okay, the headline, you know, you get a headline, a little picture.
Yeah.
Headline, New Orleans Saints have looked increasingly imperfect in recent weeks. Picture, three New Orleans Saints cheerleaders. It's just mean.
That seems unnecessary.
New Orleans Saints have looked increasingly imperfect in recent weeks. What are you saying about them?
Apparently, they're insulting cheerleaders.
These are beautiful women. You can't be, you know, there's a lot of problems in our society degrading women who are perfectly beautiful and fit, and you degrade these women on the Googleness.
Just because their football team's looking a little shaky, which isn't even their fault. That has no reflection on their physical appearance.
I know what it sounds like. It sounds like the cheerleader should be able to make or break a game, but they can't.
No, that's not how that goes.
Moving on.
They're very rarely on the field.
In the stream of consciousness manner with this segment, I'm just going.
Yeah, you're just going.
That's fine. Strip club.
I'll follow you.
In the strip district, hilariously. I guess maybe it might have been in Bloomfield.
Strip district.
I don't know, regardless. Okay, so we had but we have a strip club in town that used to be Bare Elegance.
Right.
Decent name. Okay.
Yeah.
Now called Cheerleaders.
Would have been better if it was Bare Elegance.
You mean like RAR?
Yeah, of course.
I would eat at a restaurant that was called Bare Elegance and had like either people in bear costumes or stuffed bears posed eating at tables.
Right.
In top hats and monocles.
Of course.
Back to the topic. Cheerleaders. Which is the better strip club name? Cheerleaders, Bare Elegance.
I gotta go with Bare Elegance.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Cheerleaders,
terrible name.
It's because, I mean, Bare Elegance is obviously not classy because it's a strip club.
Right.
But
it's got a classy name.
It's got a classy vibe to it because it has the word elegance in it.
Yeah, elegance.
And also, bare is a fairly tasteful way to say nude.
It is. You know? It's a tasteful way to say, you know, here be the titties.
Yes.
Which is what I would name my strip club. It would be pirate-themed. Here be the titties.
Right.
Do you think anybody's going to that one?
Depends on location. I think you'd get business.
Which would you go to first? Pirate-themed strip club called Here Be the Titties or drive-through strip club? Yeah.
Probably the pirate. Probably
yeah, exactly. I know the drive-through strip club exists.
No, I've actually been to the drive-through strip club when it was closed.
Yeah, which is sad.
Yeah, have I told that story?
I don't know if you told that story on the air, but that's the story is basically. I know that you'll stretch it out a little when telling it at a party or something.
No, you can give the summation
but to make it the funny version. In my opinion,
you can give it punchy.
Dave
if you miss
hooks
any
up with a foreign
details.
Guy. Who is
okay,
among his
to
friends.
To clarify, non-sexually. Non-sexually, just to clarify.
Non-sexually hooked up, right. With a foreign guy. And a couple other friends, right?
Yeah, basically, no,
and
specifically...
the foreign guy...
Quick detail, I'll say. Basically, what's funny is I'm just in my apartment. It's a Wednesday night, which I think adds to the comedy of this.
There's a little bit of comedy, yeah.
And it's like 9:30 or 10 at night. And this guy just kind of... basically, like, barges knocking on my apartment. It's just like, hey, it's Kardec's birthday, and we're taking him to a strip club. You want to come? And it's like, okay.
So you take the foreign guy to a strip club, but not just any strip club. You decide to drive out of town to the drive-through strip club.
Yes.
When you get to the drive-through strip club, it's closed.
Yes.
You got a drive-through strip club. Why not keep it open all night?
But here's the thing
about
it.
Most of these girls, they're out in the middle of nowhere out here.
Yeah.
They're probably on meth anyways. They can stay up late hours.
But I will say, driving through it to, you know, turn around, we were just kind of looking at how sort of depressing it looked. And we're just kind of looking at each other and we're like, you know, this was probably a good thing. This was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and but
because the drive-through strip club seemed really depressing.
Well,
even more so than strip clubs, which I've been to like one or two. I just find depressing generally.
They are depressing.
Because basically, for me...
But there are sometimes hot girls, which is...
Occasionally,
kind of
but even
the,
then, I still...
You're like, you look around, and it's like, oh, this is really depressing. Then you look up on the stage, and if you could find a hot girl amongst the mix, you're like, oh, okay, well, this isn't as depressing.
I don't know. For me...
Then you look back at like, everybody around you, and you're like, oh.
No, it's not even the people around. For me, it's just...
Oh, it's the people.
I hate strip clubs for the same reason that I hate going to... Guitar Center or shopping for a car.
Oh, you feel it's a high pressure.
No,
sale.
I hate high pressure salespeople. Yeah, it's just aggravating and makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, don't sit up right next to the you know stage and you'll be all right.
Well, no, I think it helps that for example, no, what was worse was the in this one like after the drive-through thing, you finally just like my friend as a backup because he's apparently like a, you know,
a strip roadside club
strip clubs in the boonies aficionado. So he's just like, oh, we can just go to this place. So we went to this other place. It was like 15 minutes before closing, which is hilarious because, one, it means nobody's there.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, basically it's us and strippers basically getting ready to leave.
Like putting on their clothes like, oh, here you go. Look, I just pulled this back down. There you go. So, all right, give me $5. I'm getting out of here. I got to go.
There's that. And then so one, pretty much, yeah, it was that kind of vibe. And then the second thing was, you know, so our friend, you know, goes and like, you know, gets dances and whatever. And we're just like, you know, go have fun. And then it's like basically me and my other friend who had driven, both of us at that point, you know, one, are just not that interested in spending money at a strip club or strip clubs. Which is odd, because even though he seems to know where they all are, he doesn't
particularly care about it. That's terrible. And that is a terrible combination of qualities.
So basically, he and I are just kind of there in the lobby, sort of the lobby-ish area.
All right.
While our friend is, you know, having, you know, private dancing occur of some sort. Like, sort of basically making small talk and of trying to basically avoid paying for other strippers. It was incredibly awkward.
Like, you should have just given one $5 and been like, look, I don't need anything.
It was,
I just don't want you to be here anymore. It was just a really weird experience. But you would go to Here Be the Titties.
Yeah, at least once.
I mean,
for the ambiance. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's like going to medieval times.
Oh, we change it up, you know? Too. Different pirate themes, just different costumes, different sets. Like, maybe one week it's on the pirate ship, maybe one week it's in a town. Maybe one week, you know, you're looking up at the pirate ship and the girls are on the ship, but you're on the dock. I don't know, but we change it up.
Right. There's a lot of rotation in the mix.
Eye patches also.
Well, of course there's going to be eye patches.
I'm just saying. Boop, boop, boop. Eye patches. That's a good idea. All right. So for our next stream of thought subject, where do you want to go now? Do you have a stream of thought? Stream, baby. Paddle it.
I think.
Paddle down the stream. I mean, not paddle it at the strip club. That'll get you thrown off.
No, that's not allowed. I think, trying to think. No. You know, I think we're good right now. I think we may want to, I think we've streamed this consciousness.
You're ready for a break
already? Run a bit dry. Yeah, I'm ready for a break.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we will be back very soon with more of I'm Trying to Think. And welcome back to episode 24 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Werner. This is Dave Stern.
Hey.
And that's a big box of alcohol.
That is a sizable box of alcohol.
Yeah, there's like scotch and gin and all sorts of things in there.
Like, are you getting prepared to have a problem? Because it looks
no,
like you're getting ready
give
to have
other
a problem.
Some problems.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sharing the love.
Yeah. So, Dave, what anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up episode 24 here?
Yeah, you know, I think we've been going, you know, we were bouncing through headlines, you know, we learned a little bit about the Jewish religion, but, you know, I just wanted to leave us on a bit, you know, given our name, you know, I feel like, you know, I'll leave us on a bit of a think piece, so here's something that I've been kind of pondering lately.
Okay.
And I want you to, you know, think on a little, you know, maybe chip in if you got something to say about it.
Right on.
Basically, I've been starting to think, like, recently, I'm becoming more and more suspicious of
suspicious.
Yeah, more and more suspicious.
Suspicious.
Also, incidentally, I've been becoming more and more Popeye.
All right.
Which is what how I can be suspicious of things.
Suspicious, yes.
You know, I laugh a lot and I go,
yes.
You know, I've been eating more spinach.
All right.
But anyhow, I've been becoming more suspicious of complexity.
All right, how do you mean?
Like, just in terms of ideas and in terms of the way things work,
mm-hmm.
I've been starting to think, essentially, that simple ideas, for the most part, and, you know, things that are obvious in life,
okay.
get you most of the way to where you need to go.
Right.
And then complex ideas, while obviously complicated things, you know, some things are legitimately complicated and, you know, you need complex ideas to understand them.
Oh, okay.
But I've been thinking about as many complicated ideas, probably more even, like a very high percentage of the complicated ideas out there, rather than allowing you to understand the parts of, you know, life and the world that need complicated ideas to understand them.
Okay.
They are basically there to basically try and justify and convince you to ignore what is obvious.
Wow, you have just laid an enormous load on me. Can you give me an example?
Sure. Like, for example, let's take personal finance.
All right.
Like, I would say pretty much the obvious way to, you know, reasonably have, you know, your personal finances under control is make more money than you spend and save the rest in some sort of savings account or, you know, investment vehicle or whatever.
All right. That right? seems simple and it seems good.
So
I mean, you said it in two sentences, so that seems simple.
Then sort of the layers of complexity on that are, one, you know, there's some legitimate complexity in, you know, okay, what's your strategy for the stuff you're saving? You know, are you just putting it in a savings account, you know, CDs, you know, what kind of investments, blah, blah. And some of that is legitimate.
Okay.
But then so much of the complexity in personal finance and just finance generally has basically been there to convince you that saving, you know, that basically spending less than you make and saving the difference is something you don't need to do. That you can, you know, spend more and, you know, get away with all this crazy shit.
Well,
and, you know, that's kind of what, you know, collapsed a lot of the economy. Basically, very complicated ideas designed to make people ignore what's obvious.
You know, you're familiar with cold reading, right?
Yes.
So, in a cold reading, what you do is you attempt to convince the person that you are, you possess some sort of supernatural power, but in fact, what you're doing is reading as much information as you can off their reactions and things like that to push them in a direction where they would be convinced.
Right.
So, you start out as simple as possible, right? Like, Dave, someone's talking to me, they have a D name.
Oh my God, are you talking to Daniel?
Who is Daniel? I'm seeing a younger...
Oh my God, he was.
There you go. Okay, so that's cold reading, and it works really well. But what happens when it doesn't work? For instance, okay, Dave, I'm seeing a D.
I've never met a single other person whose name had a D in it in my life. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, then the D must stand for something about them. They were maybe a dentist.
I've never known a single person with an occupation or personality characteristic that had a D in it.
So maybe the D stands, is at the end of the word.
Fraud, I want my $10 back.
I mean, talk.
Give me my $10 back.
So the thing is if cold reading fails, you have to get more complicated to convince the person, right?
Right.
It's the same with a sale, right? It's easy when the person wants the car. It's hard when they don't. You have to come up with all these reasons that they should want it. Well, the whole financial industry is structured around making up reasons that you need their services, because you don't. And they don't provide anything of necessity. So, they're going to come up with these insane reasons for you to buy into stuff or these really complicated paths to make you money that seem as complicated as possible, so you can't figure out whether or not they're screwing you over.
Right.
And they are screwing you over.
Yeah, but I mean, for me also, it's not just personal finance, although that's, you know, a great example of where to be suspicious of it. But, you know, like, when you talk about morality, you know, I think that, you know, just sort of the pure, like, common sense morality thing can get you maybe 80% of where you need to go.
Yeah.
Then in terms of morality, there's, you know, the complex parts to, you know, get legitimately difficult situation. You know, there's, like, you know, the classic, like, are you going to, you know, flip the switch on the train track from going to five people to actively killing one person, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's legitimately complex moral problems. But then a lot of the introduced complexity is, like, you know, just war theory and, you know, stuff to, you know, basically justify counterintuitive moral conclusions, which are probably wrong.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that goes on. Well, again, actually, you can just take that morality and go back to the financial system. And you get people who say, oh, we're providing a necessary service. People want to own businesses and own houses. And that's fine. That's legitimate. And to own businesses or own houses, you don't need, you know, credit default swaps. You don't need arcane methodologies.
Yeah, and also more importantly, I mean, there's a thing, you know, you may want to own a business or a house, but if you don't have the money to support that, instead of basically a system like taking a very complex way of fooling you and lying to you and saying that you can have these things, maybe just be, you know, get a cheaper thing or wait till you have more money.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a great, I think a while ago, even before everything completely collapsed, there was this great SNL sketch where I think it was Steve Martin, Amy Poehler, and Chris Parnell. It was like the financial infomercial for the guy with the amazing new system of do not buy things that you cannot afford.
No, I don't remember seeing that, but that sounds funny.
Basically, the conceit of it, just to explain it, is basically that is the entire, you know, system that the guy is selling in a book.
Yes.
And, you know, the couple in the infomercial is basically confused and sort of gobsmacked at how it works.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Because, you know, that's America.
But that's what I mean. We can just boil this all down and make it much simpler about how Americans live, period, which is there's the simple way to live, which is just get a job that makes you happy, where you're comfortable, make sure that you're provided for and your family's provided for, and have a good time. Then there's how we live, which is much more complex than that. Well, if I can just get a $2,000 credit card with a 30% interest rate, I can have a lot of stuff now in December when it means something. Because in February, this shit will all be worthless. So, I mean, we have to have it now. So, we can make everything more complex. And no one actually, like, saves money through the year to spend at Christmas.
No, God, no. That would be reasonable.
Spends money through the year
and
that
more
they
at
spent
Christmas.
On Christmas.
And more at Christmas.
Last year.
Yeah.
Because their bills are on a $2,000 credit card or $600 a month for a year. And that makes sense to them. I don't know. I mean, yes, it's weird because we are complex people who think about complex things. As is our job here, and I'm trying to think.
Absolutely.
But we lead incredibly simple lives.
I know, that's actually kind of, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy for the most part.
Yes.
But kind of one thing, just because I happen to have started thinking about this, you know, as December winds down, it's kind of falling into New Year's resolution-ness. But it's just sort of to make sure to pay more attention to things that are obvious. Because there's just something, I don't know if it's just in the modern American character, but it's certainly something I do all the time, and I shouldn't. It's like, you know, you're always looking for, you know, the catch or the shortcut or the trick to, you know, getting something to work, you know, getting somehow to make your life better.
Right.
When it really is just like, you know, there's an obvious answer, and you should do that thing.
You should just do what,
you know, it's like,
channel.
God, I just want to get better at what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean,
practice, dumbass.
You know, a lot of modern Buddhist thought is focused on that kind of thing, too, about this idea that there's this one thing that you desire, and you think that it's a solution. And I think that's a key that gets lost in a lot of people talking about Buddhism or thinking about Buddhism or blah, 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 blah about Buddhism. Is this idea that the real thing about desire is that you think it's a solution. You think whatever is out there that's causing you the suffering, right, that you lack, that thing is a solution to, like, reaching a higher level. Like, that's going to be this step, and you're going to hit the ground running after you have this thing, whether it's a romantic interest, a car, new clothes.
A talent, an whatever. Item,
right.
Whatever, yeah.
And you think you're going to hit the ground running and just, it's going to be flat out from there, you know? But it's not. It's not. It never is. If you think about all the things you've wanted in the past, you're going to realize that none of them ever.
It's like, you've gotten a lot of them.
Yeah,
are you?
It never happened.
Yeah, how much do they help? How much do they, you know, clutter your living room?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, but it's not always that just like, oh, I want this thing and I'm going to buy it. And it's going to make me happy. That's not always false. It's true a lot of the times, but the thing, it's all a matter of degree, you know. Of course, like, yeah, me going out and getting, like, a nice meal at a restaurant I like might be more expensive than eating at home, but that little bit of pleasure can be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as a man who, as we mentioned earlier, you know,
had brunch.
Had brunch today.
You know? Brunch. No, but it's all a matter of degrees and management of expectations. I always say this, Dave. Expectation management is the key to everything. Manage your expectations, and life will be awesome. And now you should manage your expectation that we're going to be back in 2 weeks. And if you hate us, write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
But I think, you know, if we like us, we also like...
Oh, yeah. Wait, we could get fan mail where they
Instead
like
of saying
us.
If you like us, did I just say email us if we like us?
You may have.
Because in that case,
that
I'll tell you guys. We like us a lot, so you should definitely email us.
Yeah, I mean,
by that logic.
Definitely. But thank you for tuning in to episode 24 of I'm Trying to Think. And as I said, we'll be back in 2 weeks with more I'm Trying to Think. Thank you.